You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Guardians did get the dub in game one of a doubleheader out in Chicago. Carlos Santana actually moved into fifth place all time in Guardians home runs. With a big blast that actually put them ahead.
Well, they can't trade him now.
I actually think I understand trading a lot of people. Only reason I trade Carlos is if he doesn't think this is going anywhere and you're doing him a favor. I don't really feel the need to watch.
You mean you wouldn't trade him to make room for somebody in AAA that probably should be on the roster?
I don't think Kayfis is on the same level as DeLauder. Yeah. I think we're just screaming names into the void because the Guardians offense stinks.
He's a top 100 prospect still.
Yeah, I think if you trade Carlos Santana, I know he's been your third best hitter. That's not saying much. If you think the offense is going to get better by subtracting him, I think that's another
okay,
thing.
But here's the thing. You get to the trade. I understand they're on this 5-game win streak now, and there's I guess some kind of conversation to be had. Like, oh, they're hanging in this thing. I'm sure the Guardians will pitch us that. They'll tell us. They're still in the wild card race, so they're not giving up anything. But if you get to the trade deadline and it feels like you're pretty much out of it, wouldn't you rather like bring up the top 100 prospect and just see what he does for 2 months to end the season, just to kind of set the stage for the following season, rather than keep Carlos Santana just for the joys of watching Carlos Santana?
I think we need to understand that the Guardians believe that there's a certain amount of at-bats you have to have in the minors before you come up to the big leagues.
Which, by the way, how many times have the Guardians really developed hitters? Can't they ever change their philosophy? They have this philosophy that they stick to.
Well, no. But my point is, that might be the one thing they do that actually makes sense, which is they've fallen short. There are players that come up that don't get those number of at-bats. So it's not necessarily an exact rule. Sometimes they let guys up. I just don't like. I think Kayfis is a nice player. I don't think he's a game changer. I think he profiles as a good major leaguer. I don't feel the need to rush him, and I think this is his first year at AAA. Whereas DeLauder, like what that guy's an elite hitter already. He is a major league hitter already. I think people have lumped them together because it's just anybody but who's actually on this lineup. Well, it's like, well, Kayfis doesn't play second base where you've got no production from. Well, Kayfis doesn't play center field where you've got no production from.
My thing is, if you're already platooning first base anyway, I'd rather see the guy that's like going to be here longer term.
I wouldn't be platooning. Santana would be your DH in Manzardo or vice versa, and Manzardo would play every day.
I view Carlos Santana as like the Joe Flacco of this team. It's like, yeah, you can hang on, you can play with him for a while, you can have him be out there for a while, but at some point, like you have to accept like he's not part of your future. And you start looking towards the future. And so my point is, if you get to the trade deadline and you feel like the Guardians are pretty much out of it, or they feel like they're pretty much out of it, and it's time to start thinking about, like, well, who can we trade to look toward, like they did a couple years ago, where they make a big trade that maybe is controversial because they're like, well, you're still kind of in it, but, you know, with I think it was Savali they traded, obviously. Like, that didn't make the team very happy. And so trading Santana might not make the team very happy, but it's also like that pivot point to, all right, we got to start thinking about the future. And I think you clear a way for somebody who, to me, I think Kavis has at least earned a look late in the season if you don't feel like the season's going.
But you don't have to do it this year. You can do it next year. There's other times. So here's my thing.
They can wait for next year for Chase to lauder then too, right?
No, they're not the same prospect. One is a legit like middle of the order bat tomorrow. Kavis is a regular, potential everyday player who, by the way, has a lot more issues with that profile for people than DeLauder does. DeLauder, if you've got an issue with DeLauder's game beyond health, you're picking apart a prospect. Like when Keith Law said he's got a hole in his swing, it's like, all right, you're talking out your ass because watch the guy play. Yeah. He is an incredible prospect. Kavis does. I mean, he has some chase issues he's had, and I think those are going to be a bigger issue in baseball. And the other thing is, like, here's the thing. Asset management is at the heart of this thing, right? So you can defend trading Carlos Santana. So I'm not trying to make this whole big thing, but the difference is, like, if you trade Clase or Kwan, you're probably going to get something that substantially generates a future opportunity for you. Like, you're getting multiple top 100 prospects for either or both guys. Santana, you're going to get more than you would 10 years ago. He's 39, elite, yeah. Gold glove first baseman, good bat with some power still. You're still probably going to get maybe one fringe prospect.
We can agree to disagree on the Kavis thing, but my bigger problem is just the philosophy that the stance you're taking on Kavis, where it's like, well, hey, we don't know that he's like really as ready. And like, I just think that's this very overly patient philosophy, I think, is the same thing that the Guardians just do with everybody, whether it's Kavis, whether it's DeLauder, whether it's whoever. And if you apply it to somebody like Kavis, who I think has at least earned an opportunity because he's playing so well.
Do you think they're overly patient is why they're here? Because overly patient with Angel Martinez, and it hasn't made a difference.
But that's the thing. Like, that's my problem. It
hasn't made a difference for Rocchio.
No. I'm saying they're so overly patient that it's become a problem. How many years did we spend talking about this crop of middle infield talent that they have? Oh, they got Gabe Arias, and they got Tyler Freeman, who, by the way, they moved on from and now is raking somewhere else.
He's hitting for average. You look at his his deep numbers.
I'm not really griping about that. I don't really care. I don't think Tyler Freeman's really going to be this regular great player anyway. But my thing is, we spent like four. I'm just finding more reasons to gripe about the organization is what it is. Now I'm just like, you know how it goes. Anyway, we spent years though talking about all these middle infield prospects, and not one of them has really stuck. Andre Jimenez got the contract extension, and then they traded him, and now it's Gabe Arias that they're banking on, who's had a better season. But do we think Gabe Arias is really like part of this future? I don't know.
But their patience with those guys is not the problem. Their ability to identify those players is the problem.
That's fair. But my thing is, they tried to sell everybody for years on those guys. They said, just wait till these guys get up. Well, if you caught them up sooner, we could have found out sooner if they were anything, and you could have moved on to the next crop of talent that you're talking about bringing in. But see, that's the problem.
This is where you're poking at the ass of something and saying it's a problem when it's the top end of the thing. Like, the problem is you can't identify offensive prospects, specifically those with power. They have tried a lot of different things. They went heavy in contact, and then they went with high tool guys like Bradley Zimmer. Like, they've kind of tried a lot of different things. It's just none of them have worked to a mystifying level. But it's not been the reason they didn't wait too long, and that's why Arias has struggled or Martinez has struggled. God knows what those guys would have looked like if you had went to them too early. Like, I understand. Like,
I just think
what they're doing with DeLauder is a little disingenuous, and I can understand that. But, like, to put DeLauder and Kavis or Brito or any of these guys or any of the guys that are currently up in that conversation, I think we're having the wrong conversation. I think the conversation is, why the hell can't you develop these guys? Or why can't you identify them and then develop them? That's the $30 million question.
You're right in that. That's the bigger problem. And obviously, you can sit there and say, like, they had to find a way to be better at that. I'm not that is the bigger conversation in all of this that we're both sort of talking about. But again, I push back on this the philosophy they have, because you're right. Like, maybe they called these guys sooner and then they still don't pan out. Okay, but at least you'd know. Because my thing just goes back to, I think they are so obsessed. The only thing they can really commit to is not bottoming out. That's the one thing they will never be like, hey, we're not, they're committed to being just good enough every year and selling that to the fans. So they continually preach to the fans and everybody, like, we got this great farm system, we got these prospects coming, but then they wait so long to see them, and you don't actually, like, and then we don't get the read on them until way down the line.
They actually
and meanwhile,
have.
They're wasting.
They actually
somebody
have
like
tried
Jose Ramirez,
out.
Who was a once in a lifetime
they're
opportunity.
They're not wasting him. They're in the ALCS last year, for the love of God.
And then they bought,
can people stop that
they,
crap?
Yeah. They. What did they do after that? They were in the ALCS last year, and then they decided, you know what?
Stop there.
You know what?
They were in the ALCS last year.
And the only thing they magically thought they were going to get
that's
back there by
can't
training
possibly
away
be
good
wasting
players.
Somebody's prime if 2 years ago you won a series and were on the precipice of the ALCS, and then last year, sorry, that was 3 years ago, and then 2 years, then last year you were in the ALCS. Like, they're
okay.
not wasting his prime. They're in
Maybe
the damn
they
playoffs.
They didn't waste it last year, but then your decision-making after that was, well, hey, we had a pretty good opportunity here with this guy who took a hometown discount, and so let's get worse. Let's get worse for him while he gets older. Like, that doesn't, you would think a team that has a player who did that, took the hometown discount,
see, that right
you
there is
then,
fan
you
thinking.
You would then add to the roster and like try to make get over the hump with
they
that guy
added
before
by
he
subtracting,
gets.
By the way, Andrés Giménez is a absolute black hole at the lineup. That so moving to that, and they got out from with his money. That's the smartest decision you could have made. And oh, by the way, they got a pitcher who, when he's not potentially being investigated for gambling, showed multiple times this year he's in your rotation if we can just stay out of the hooskow. But when it comes to every other thing, like, okay, the Naylor thing, guys, they shouldn't have re-signed him. He's a fat first baseman who, by the way, should be a DH. And I don't think he fit with their clubhouse what they want to. Like, that's not a guy who had injury histories previously. Like, you shouldn't have re-signed Naylor. And, oh, by the way, you got Ciccone for him. So in both trades that did make you worse, in terms of the offense, yeah, both trades you got two pieces that could really help you. And the crime is then not reinvesting the money. I'll give
you
that.
That's the problem.
But you just come back to this idea of they're not wasting Jose's prime. This is a narrative. And when I say fan thinking, I don't mean to be that dismissive. What I mean it is, it's like, guys, you can't be wasting. Mike Trout is the Mickey Mantle of our times. Mike has not been sniffed the playoffs since his rookie year. Aaron Judge has a $300 million payroll, $250 million payroll around him, has not won a World Series despite consistently being in the playoffs his entire career. That is wasting it. But to have a guy who on a small market team took a hometown discount, who has every time has been in the playoffs more often than not the last 5 years, yeah, I think we're playing fast and loose with that idea of you're wasting Jose's prime. I think that's crying. I think that's the Chicken Little. I think that's the sky is falling.
I think for this season specifically, you wasted a prime year of his career. I do, and I just go back to like they're as patient.
What
as
about
they,
last year? Did they last year?
They're as patient as they want to be, but their philosophy is always just like, everything's going to work out. Like, they're just hoping. They're hoping that what happened in 2016 happens again.
So
which is
specify who's they. Who's
the organization.
They,
the organization.
But what does that mean? Because you got ownership, you got the front office, you got the manager. Like, who's they?
I mean, as a collective, they are operating. I mean, I guess.
So you
I,
think
I guess
Antonetti and Chernoff go in and say we'd like to cut money?
I guess theoretically, it's ownership. Yes, but okay. But obviously, the conversation always just goes back to that. But my point in this is like they are hoping that what happened in 2016, where everything came together at the right time. Francisco Lindor had reached that point. The prospects that you had touted for years, like, they all developed the right way, and they all got to a point where they were all clicking and rolling on all cylinders, and it all timed out and then led to this World Series run. And then you finally invested in the team and added Edwin Encarnacion, and then if he doesn't get hurt, who knows what happens in 2017. But you're waiting for that to happen, and they're like, they're doing the same thing again. They're touting the prospects. We got this great crop of guys coming in. When you trade guys and get guys for like the future, that's not necessarily investing in the now with Jose Ramirez to me. Like, yeah, they got some players that I think are going to contribute to this team, but are they going to contribute like right now immediately to winning a World Series?
Luis
or are they going to
Ortiz
contribute in like 4 years?
Luis Ortiz and Slade Ciccone are literally doing with the team right now. 216-474-0092. I'm just not going to do the Jose. I'm not going to ask you if they're wasting Jose Ramirez's prime because it's going to upset me.
Sounds like Nick is in the pocket of the Guardians.
It doesn't. You have not seen my pockets, apparently. They're not just cheap there, folks. It doesn't make sense for Stephen Kwan, but does it make sense for the Guardians? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. That's just
drive. And they literally just took the name.
God bless our corporate overlords.
In the radio biz. this time slot is just called Afternoon Drive because you are on literally when people are driving during the afternoon. They just took it straight from that and they said, let's name that the show.
Well, hey, let's make it as non-specific to the people that work on it as humanly possible.
Not even like Cleveland's Afternoon Drive. It's just Afternoon Drive. Yep.
And it's like, well, okay. This afternoon, drive.
People are driving generally at this time of day.
But no, it gets even worse. Like, thank God I haven't like been arrested for anything. Like, no, because every time somebody does, like, it's like, you know, it becomes about like whatever they got in trouble for, and it's like, all right, that's unnecessary.
See,
we don't need cheeky wordplay based off their legal woes, their worst moment of their lives.
That's why, I like, when there
it's
is
drunk driving with Dale. Hey guys, yeah, I drunk drove once.
You don't just live in your home; you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I spent time in the Hooskow. Okay.
that like honestly, like, you know a good podcast name when you hear it, because there are so few names left. Like, when somebody actually comes with a creative one and they're like, this is my podcast name, it like catches your attention. You're like, oh, that's actually a good name, because you're right. There's nothing left.
It's Premature Relations with Mikey D. Hey guys.
You're good at coming up with these.
Enjoy
on the
bulge. That's me.
Enjoy the bulge.
So it doesn't
was
make
Tom Withers.
No, that's Nick.
Oh, really?
Tom Withers at any point in his career on as a guest or as a radio show host with 92.5. You think Tom has said, enjoy the bulge?
He's been making more appearances on the station. Maybe he's got a little loose lipped.
Yeah, I don't know. You're dumb. I don't think so.
Play that again. Play that again.
Enjoy the bulge. That sounds nothing like Tom.
It sounds like Tom. It's because it's like, it's not like your normal voice. It's like you kind of had like a laugh in your voice. And it kind of, like, Tom has kind of like this whispered voice, and it kind of sounded like that at the end.
I think you were talking out your ass.
Well, when I was talking and it played the first time, it sounded a lot more like Tom Withers. I definitely heard more of you the second time.
Yeah, yeah.
But
we played a couple more times, and you'll figure out you're full of it. That's where, Mac, does it sound like Tom Withers?
Absolutely not.
Right. Okay,
Jake, does it sound like Tom Withers?
No, not at all.
All right. Man, that's an 0-3, dog. You're basically...
this is another example of Nick using
you're John
the people
Kensey
on
Noel.
The show that work with him. That he knows if they push back, he's gonna say something about.
I'm not Ken with producers.
Okay.
I've only had two producers, and thank you very much. The last one became boss. All right. Okay. I'm on an upward trajectory.
But he was here
trajectory.
Before you were here.
No, my credit. Without
you don't
me,
get credit for making. Keith
let me ask
the
you.
Boss.
When it was Bull and Fox, was he the boss? No. When it was the Nick Wilson show, and then Afternoon Drive with Nick and Jonathan, all of a sudden, stock through the roof.
Oh, congratulations, big guy.
Is that Tom Withers?
It's like Mike Tomlin getting credit for a Super Bowl that was made with Bill Cowher's players.
Yeah, because he won it. It doesn't make sense for Stephen Kwan, but does it make sense for the Guardians? I'm not trying to take a victory lap on it, but I remember the first time we talked about Stephen Kwan having 2.5 years of control left, I remember just being the one of the first people to say, hey, nobody wants to talk about this. We're having a rough season. This will become the conversation if you can't pull the nose up on this. I thought it was interesting to hear people try and have the conversation about whether or not the Guardians should try and extend Stephen Kwan and whether you'd pay him $25 million a year or not, mostly because, one, Stephen Kwan will not take in any way, from what we understand,
yeah,
has no interest in a hometown discount, has also expressed real interest in playing on the West Coast because that's where he's from, the Bay Area, went to Oregon State. And honestly, though, even if we just get to the Guardian side of things, he's a great leadoff hitter. For a team that has budgetary woes, yeah, I'm not putting $25 million a year into a leadoff hitter. I'm just not.
So can we basically just etch in stone that Kwan's going to be with the Dodgers?
Oh, I think the Giants are in play. I think the Mariners are in play. I think there's a couple teams.
Yeah, but every time we think somebody that really wants to play in the West Coast could go to any of the teams, he just ends up with the Dodgers. That's just how it always goes.
I mean, it would make... I mean, so my whole argument about trading Steven in the first place in season is it doesn't matter if you get on base, if no one drives you in. Is Steven, Shohei, and then Mookie Betts would be about as lethal of a 1-2-3 as you could have.
And the Dodgers are already pretty lethal with their lineup in general. I understand your I understand where you're coming from on this. I think the biggest hurdle I think fans are going to have is, like, this is your second best player, specifically on and off from an offensive standpoint. Like, this is your second best player. He probably is still the second best player on the team regardless, but he's your second best player. And if you just willingly, like, move on from him without trying to pay him, I think it's just going to be an even tougher pill. Like, I am accepting of the fact that right now is, like, the worst possible time for this to be, like, on the docket, for Stephen Kwan to be, for his future to be questioned, for them to have to start having the conversations, the tough conversations about moving on from him. It's the worst timing ever because everyone already thinks the organization is cheap and doesn't invest and got worse this offseason and isn't building around Jose Ramirez and all those things. So if then, therefore, the outcome of this is you have to trade him, it might be like riot in the street. Where, like, people are going to be pissed. They're going to be really mad if you don't pay Stephen Kwan as the second best player on this team. Even though what you're saying is valid.
Would you be more or less mad about trading Kwan and not paying him than you were trading Francisco Lindor? Because Lindor, again, 13, what, ridiculous, like, decade-plus deal, $300 million, $400 million. I think that's more the guy you try and take the big swing on and get to buy into that $25, $30 million contract than this one.
Yeah, and listen, at that time, I've always been pretty adamant. Like, I banged the drum on, every team should be able to afford one player that's making, like, $300 million over, like, 10 years, and you're paying them, like, $30 million or whatever, and you just kind of bite the bullet on
it. You mean, like, should, like, the economics of baseball?
Yeah,
or, like, you think, like, they actually can afford it, and they're just not doing it?
I think pretty much everyone can afford it, and they just don't do it.
I'll actually push back. I don't think anyone should do it. I think those contracts are awful for baseball.
Well, let's be honest. $300 million over 10 years is, like, that's like a bargain these days because got guys
with what
Soto's going for. But I'm saying
Vlad, a first base only chunky power hitter, went for.
That's true too. But yeah, I mean, like, that is the, like, given what, so, like, Soto's contracts changed the game. Like, all these guys just want the big money. There's a lot of financial issues that exist in baseball beyond just the Guardian situation, and so that's why I'm a big proponent of, like, I think a lockout actually maybe helps the sport. But that's a conversation for another time.
And it probably screws players, but in the end, if it's best for baseball, I kind of get it.
Yeah, I think it kind of has to happen. But regardless, like, as far as the Kwan conversation is concerned, I think if you end up trading Kwan, and listen, I get it. Like, you'll get the Guardians generally don't get fleeced in these deals. They generally always get back something of value.
Unless you're trading a Junior Caminero or a Yadier Diaz.
Yeah, that's true. But there's always some example, right? But if you trade him and you get back a number of prospects that are, like, future assets for the team.
I'm distracted by future assets on the TV.
If you trade Kwan and you get back those prospects that we're always talking about and that they always tend to get back, like, I get the picture. I get the vision there. I get the big picture there. But again, it just ties back into this conversation we just had last segment, which is like, they're always just waiting for the right time for everything to come together. They're just waiting. They're just kicking the can down the road. It maybe looks like you're wasting more time with Jose Ramirez, where he's still in his prime. Like, all those things just come and bubble back up to the surface if it happens. But I do understand where you're coming from, where it's like, Kwan is somewhat limited in terms of like what he actually brings to the table and what he provides. You need other things. So if you were to trade him and get somebody who's like a proven talent, and that's, I think, the big disconnect for me is like, you have a guy in your building right now who's a proven talent in baseball. Yeah, like, pay him. Because I always say, I get the idea of prospects, but prospects are always like a hope and a dream. How many times have prospects come and gone that were not, like, Francisco Mejia? He was supposed to be the next great thing for the Guardians. He gets traded as part of, which deal was that? Was that
the Fran mill?
Yeah, that's right.
Fran Hand deal.
Yeah. And Ooh. he, what happened to Francisco Mejia? Within like 4 years, he's like out of the league. Like, he's not even a factor anymore. So it's like,
yeah, but that's the lifeblood of teams like Cleveland and like Tampa Bay. So that's where it's tough. Yeah. It's like the only way you get better is if you bring up enough prospects and have them hit.
For sure, I get it. But I just mean like the idea of like investing more in prospects rather than like talent that's there right now, I think is just going to drive fans nuts.
216-474-0092. Does it make sense for the Guardians to try and extend Stephen Kwan? We'll ask that of Scott Braun of Foul Territory TV coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.